Good morning. It's nice to be here with everybody early on a Wednesday morning. So I'm going to talk about the role of women in VMMC decision-making among men in Tanzania. It was convenient to be able to speak after Dr. Andrianopoulos because you already have a good background on the study and the context, but we'll go over a few more points as well. So I have no relationships to disclose. The research question for this study was, I was curious about the role of women in male clients' decisions to seek services through the circumcision program in Tanzania, in Iringa and in Njombe. And so it's using data from the larger study that was just discussed. Just a little bit of background, Dr. Andrianopoulos already shared, but the HIV prevalence in Tanzania overall is about 5%, and it's higher in women than in men by just a bit. And then HIV testing prevalence is a lot higher in women at 62% versus men. We know that circumcision is associated with a 60% reduction in male HIV acquisition, but there's no demonstrated reduction of HIV risk for women as a direct result of circumcision. It's hypothesized that there's an indirect impact. If there are less men with HIV in the community, then the chances of having an HIV-positive partner would decrease. There's also some work being done about additional medical benefits for women that might include reduction of HPV risk, bacterial vaginosis, and other sexually transmitted infections. So there's a common incorrect belief that circumcision does have risk benefits for women. And so I think it's important that we think about what that could mean for women in the larger context. And also, there are some studies that are already demonstrating the role that women play in decision making. So you heard about the client survey, and that's the quantitative data that was used in this mixed method analysis. I'll tell you a little bit more about the interviews. So overall, the study was cross-sectional. And the qualitative data included 60 in-depth interviews, 30 from clients, 12 of who were HIV positive, and then 30 from service providers. So service providers included a range of different folks. So we had testing providers, circumcision providers, people that provided both of those services, program officers, peer educators, NGO representatives, et cetera. The interviews were conducted in Kiswahili and then translated and transcribed into English. We developed the codes as a research team before coding the interviews, but then remained open to adding new things that emerged. And the data was managed through Atlas and the analysis was conducted in English. So let's get to the results. So I did find that women influence men's decision-making in a variety of ways. There were three main themes that emerged, and so we'll talk about those individually. So the first main theme was that it revolved around message delivery and decision discussions. So as the statistic earlier showed, women are coming in larger numbers for HIV testing and counseling services compared to men. So women are serving as the message bearers. They're the ones that are getting information about circumcision that can then bring it back to the males in their lives. One counselor says, if the woman receives a message, she must convey it to her husband. We tell them the advantages of undergoing circumcision. Once you have explained to them the meaning and advantages of circumcision, that's where she becomes motivated and convinces her husband and sons to go for circumcision. So this study is looking specifically at adult men, but I do want to point out that women are also playing a role in decision-making for circumcision for sons. And that came up throughout the study. Another role that women are playing is in terms of decisions, discussing the decision to uptake services. So one NGO representative says that one of the ways that I have seen of promoting circumcision is that many women want their men to be circumcised. So if a person consults his wife, you will find that the woman is encouraging him to go and be circumcised. So the client surveys told us that about 18% of clients reported that they did discuss the circumcision decision with their wife or sexual partner. And this was significantly higher for the men over 25 at about 42%. Just another quotation here. One of the peer educators told us that we have been talking to the women who can convince their husbands. We give them education that if a man is not circumcised, there are effects that can happen to you, a woman. So the women have been a great force in convincing their husbands to go for circumcision, much better than if we are facing the person directly. Recently, there is a woman who first forced her partner to come for circumcision. Otherwise, she would leave him. She had already denied him sex on the grounds of the dangers of cervical cancer. She had heard from the sensitization sessions. So this is just to demonstrate the ways that women are impacting the men's decisions. Our study was conducted in Tanzania and has yet to, in my knowledge, Tanzania has yet to use this sort of a finding in promoting circumcision services, but other countries have already started to incorporate this, the idea of women in influencers in decision making. So the purplish poster over here is from Kenya, the poster is targeting subjective norms in Kenya by modeling a satisfied female whose partner underwent male circumcision and is encouraging other women to encourage their partners to be circumcised. Annette over here on the right, this poster ran in Uganda. Okay, so a second theme that emerged about this topic was the perception of women's sexual desires. Dr. Antonopoulos referred to this a bit in her presentation, but So there's an idea that women prefer circumcised partners. One client, a 19-year-old HIV negative client, says that women do refuse you if they find you with a foreskin. After you have circumcised, you'll be shocked. Women will not refuse to be with you. So 31.7% of the men reported this belief that circumcision is more desirable to women, that belief is one of the motivators that they decided to come and get circumcised. And that was a motivator and a belief that was higher, significantly higher in the younger men, those without a current partner, those who had never had sex or who hadn't had sex in the previous 6 months. Another client tells us, I was feeling very bad that I was not circumcised. I used to worry a lot before I came for the service. I didn't feel good about myself. I heard that male circumcision makes someone confident and believe in oneself when they are with their partners in their sexual relationships. So here's an example of another ad that ran in Uganda using this finding to promote circumcision. And then the last area that the themes were emerging from was the gendered preferences for VMMC providers and gender in the service delivery setting. So 12.8% of clients reported being embarrassed to have a female circumcision provider, that was a main obstacle in their decision making. And that was higher significantly for those that were 25 and older, had a current partner, had ever had sex, or had had sex in the past 6 months. So these are all clients that did ultimately decide to come in, but before they came in for services, they were concerned. And then a little more than 40% believed that this was an obstacle for their counterpart. So this idea that it might not be the main obstacle for them, but it's the main obstacle for other people that aren't coming in. And that was higher for those among those with a current partner who had ever had sex. One of the counselors says, a challenge we face from men above 20 years is that they are not comfortable to be attended by a woman. The majority feel embarrassed. In short, men prefer their fellow man to educate as well as circumcise them rather than a woman. So some of the findings in this section were a little bit mixed, because also for the men that did come in and receive circumcision services, they were asked if they had a gendered preference for their provider. And only 26 of them preferred a male provider. So that means that about 40% had no preference at all, and 35%, which is preferred a woman, which is even higher than those that preferred a man. So there's more to unpack here around gender and providers. And then another theme was just women in the service delivery setting. So a peer educator says, another challenge is the way the service rooms are located. The room for circumcision is just next to the room where they provide cervical cancer screening for women. This is an adult man coming out of circumcision services and facing a group of women. It's so embarrassing. Recently, I escorted a client in his 20s, and on reaching the hospital, there were many women who had brought their sons for circumcision services. My client said, Doctor, I'm feeling bad. Look at all those women and children. What do we do? This is a challenge that always happens. In conclusion, we see that women have the ability to both persuade and dissuade men to participate in circumcision services, and that these findings should be considered in circumcision demand creation interventions. Specifically, women are more likely to seek HIV health services so they can serve as message deliverers around circumcision services. Women influence men's decisions during interpersonal communications. Men perceive women to prefer circumcised men, and so that finding can be utilized in efforts of VMMC demand creation. But it's also important to note that future research should talk to women themselves to better understand their preferences and desires rather than focusing solely on male perception. It's also important to consider unintended consequences of promoting a shift in desired body type and shifting sexual preferences. And lastly, considering gendered preferences in service delivery can alleviate common anxieties around circumcision. So that could look like more sensitization of men regarding female providers, and also just strategically placing the circumcision services in gender-neutral settings. So this study isn't without limitations. As I previously mentioned, there is no data from women on their perspectives on male partner circumcision. And again, this was a cross-sectional study that wasn't designed to look at this specific query, so there are some limitations there in terms of the information that we had to work with. But one of the strengths here is that it's a mixed method approach. There's currently very limited gendered analysis of circumcision programs, so hopefully this is contributing to that conversation. And while this data is specific to Tanzania, it mirrors findings and program work that's happening in other countries. Thanks, everybody, for your attention. I want to thank my study collaborators who are also in the room, and happy to take any of your questions at the end.